This is a special episode of Washington Today during this week's Republican National Convention. This podcast is our post-convention coverage with analysis on the day's events.
Our campaign 2020 coverage continues. C-SPAN, your unfiltered view of politics.
And it has been day two of a Republican convention that's included a speech by First Lady Melania Trump, the Secretary of State, and two of the president's children. Also, a presidential pardon tonight, a naturalization ceremony for five new U.S. citizens, and a focus on some of the battleground states, including Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk to Joe Gruters. He is a Florida state senator and also chair of the Florida Democratic Party, and a Democratic Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She herself is the former chair of the Democratic National Committee. Elena Train is joining us here in Washington. She covers the White House and politics for Axios.com. And I want to begin with the point that Apprentice producers were involved in this production, and it seems pretty clear that that was evident during moments tonight. What are your overall thoughts in moments that stood out? Yeah. Elena Train, I'm going to jump in because you've muted your mic so we can't hear you, but we'll try to have you unmute yourself. And let me go back to that initial question. So
I was going to say, Steve, sorry. What I was going to say is with those Apprentice producers that have helped with the Republican National Convention, I think it was very apparent their role here. The president loves these made-for-TV moments, which we saw tonight, particularly where you saw the president himself in the White House giving a pardon to a former someone who was convicted for robbery, who's now formed Hope for Prisoners, John Pardon, and as well as the naturalization ceremony. Now, I think that if you look back to something that the president said during his State of the Union this year that he thought was his favorite moment was during the State of the Union when he awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. And so he wanted to create those type of moments this week during the Republican National Convention. And I think, you know, given the surprise nature of them tonight, we should expect more of that later this week.
I want to go back to another moment. This is Eric Trump, the president's son, who at the end of his speech had an audience of one. Let's watch.
In closing, I'd like to speak directly to my father. I miss working alongside you every single day, but I'm damn proud to be on the front lines of this fight. I'm proud of what you're doing for this country. I'm proud to show my children what their grandfather's fighting for. I'm proud to watch you give them hell. Never stop. Continue to be unapologetic. Keep fighting for what is right. You are making America strong again. You are making America safe again. You are making America proud again. And yes, together with a forgotten man and woman who are finally forgotten no more, you are making America great again. Dad, let's make Uncle Robert very proud this week. Let's go get another 4 years. I love you very much. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
And of course, Uncle Robert referring to the president's younger brother. But the backdrop in all of this, the book by the president's niece, Mary Trump, and the comments by the president's older sister saying that the president has no principles.
Yes, I think saying the quiet part tonight. I think there's a reason all of his all of the president's adult children are speaking this week. They're trying to show him as more of a family man. I do think one thing that's worth noting is that throughout the speeches so far from his children, Tiffany, Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump tonight, they haven't really spoken to his character, the type of man or memories that they've had with their father from growing up. They're really focusing on what he could do for the country, what a second term under him might look like, speeches that other speakers could give as well. And I think that's an interesting thing to know. We heard a lot from speakers last week and surrogates to Joe Biden about the type of man Joe Biden is, his character, how he's a very empathetic person given his personal history. Less of that this week, more about the president's policies and what he's done while in office. But I do agree. I think that ignoring some of the critiques from some of his other family members for sure tonight.
But clearly that was one of the criticisms of the DNC last week, that there wasn't enough on substance.
Yes, it was. And that's something that there was a lot of hand-wringing among Republicans for the Biden campaign last week, not going as into policy as they think he should have. Their biggest critique, really, I'd say, coming out of the Democratic National Convention last week. And I think, you know, we'll see the flip side this week from Democrats and their opposition saying the president isn't being shown as human enough or relatable enough. So definitely opposing remarks from both sides.
One of the speakers that was scrubbed tonight, Marianne Mendoza, what's the backstory?
So Marianne Mendoza was supposed to speak tonight about her son, who was a law enforcement officer who died in a car crash. I believe it was an hour or so before she was set to speak. She was pulled from the lineup, given that she had retweeted and shared tweets of an anti-Semitic nature. It was a full thread, actually. And so she was yanked from the lineup this evening.
Your overall assessment of day two of this convention, what stood out?
I do think that a lot of the speakers tried to share more of a positive tone tonight. That was something Republicans criticized Biden over last week. You know, people can question whether that's fairly or not, but they did try to have a more positive tone tonight, especially after yesterday. Monday, the first night, was a bit bleak, I'd argue, given all of the criticisms of last week being a bit more dismal. I would argue last night wasn't much more positive from Republicans. But tonight we did hear a lot of people sharing their personal stories. We heard that from the First Lady Melania Trump, from Tiffany Trump, other everyday Americans who spoke, and also trying to have a forward-looking image of a more optimistic America. And I think that's something that the campaign, or I know that's something the campaign is really trying to push for and try to emphasize this week.
Two more days to go. Alana Train, who's following all of this for Axios.com. She covers the White House here in Washington. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.
And a reminder, we're live again tomorrow evening with the speech, the acceptance speech by Vice President Mike Pence. He'll do so at Fort McHenry. We'll also hear from his wife, Karen Pence, the second lady, and Kellyanne Conway, who announced earlier this week that she is leaving the White House at the end of this month. Joe Gruters is a Florida State Senator and chair of the Florida Republican Party. He is joining us from Sarasota. And Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Democrat from South Florida, representing the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area. And Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I'll begin with you. From what you saw tonight, what's your assessment?
You know, Steve, I think that this administration, this Republican National Committee, must think that Americans, particularly people of color in this country, have not been paying attention to the disdain and stiff-arming that Donald Trump has engaged in of people of color and the issues that matter to them for the last nearly 4 years. The patronizing, the stunts that were pulled tonight, the speeches that make references to issues that Donald Trump has completely ignored. I mean, the fact that they had the audacity to talk about racial justice when the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act sits over in the Senate, Donald Trump has done absolutely nothing to ensure that it becomes law. In fact, has indicated that he opposes most of it, if not all of it. The continued, you know, racism and bigotry that emanates from this White House and from this president. This convention thus far has been dark and really has shown disdain for people watching it, as if they have not been paying any attention to what this presidency has been like for the last 4 years.
And Joe Gruters, I'm going to bet you want to respond.
Yeah, Congresswoman, just more doom and gloom coming from your side. You know, in reality, the president stepped up and made sure that the funding for historically black colleges and university is now the guaranteed. He also did the First Step Act, and so it's not just lip service, it's actual action, and that's what this president's all about. And that's what this convention's about for the Republicans. It's about the theme tonight was the land of opportunity, and it is about everyday Americans being empowered by the president's policies. He has consistently gone to bat for the American people, facing the headwinds of not only the media, but people like you in Washington and the swamp. And he deserves a lot of credit, and I think there's a lot of energy on our side, and there's a lot of optimism for the president. And I think that every day this goes on, I think we're continuing to win votes.
Let's go through some of the headlines of the night. In one of the speeches from the First Lady Melania Trump, she did so in the newly renovated Rose Garden and had this to say.
As you have heard this evening, I don't want to use this precious time attacking the other side. Because as we saw last week, that kind of talk only serves to divide the country further. I'm here because we need my husband to be our president and commander-in-chief for 4 more years. He's what is best for our country. We all know Donald Trump makes no secrets about how he feels about things. Total honesty is what we as citizens deserve from our president. Whether you like it or not, you always know what he's thinking. And that is because he's an authentic person who loves this country and its people and wants to continue to make it better.
And of course, Joe Gruden, as you heard some of the chuckling in the background, including the president with those remarks by the First Lady.
Well, I think that she's right. I think he's authentic. She also said that he doesn't have time to play politics. Listen, Donald Trump was elected to do one thing, and that's drain the swamp, go up there, and he's fought for the average working American out there, and he's done it all at the, you know, going against the, like I said, the media and the Democrats and the swamp overall. It's not easy, but he continues to do it, and he's doing it, you know, to really help out the country. I think you heard that from all the children. You know, somebody said they didn't talk enough about him as a dad and everything else. They're talking about him, you know, he's leading the country. He's doing exactly what he thinks he needs to do. And this is why it's so great to have somebody who's not owned or controlled by anybody. He's doing what he thinks is right, regardless of the political consequences, and he's actually making things happen. He's accomplished quite a bit over the first 3.5 years, and I think he'll probably go down as one of the best presidents in the history of our country.
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you have been at these naturalization ceremonies for new Americans. 5 new Americans that moment from the cross hall at the White House that was taped earlier, but part of the convention tonight. When you saw that, what was your reaction?
Well, certainly joy for the people who were being sworn in as citizens of our great country, and shock at the abuse of power that this president has used for this evening's convention. I mean, to use the White House as a backdrop for a political convention, you know, that results in his nomination for the Republican Party candidacy, to use the official acts of pardon, the pardoning of a former felon, you know, swearing in citizens in the White House, using the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, the Secretary of State speaking, which is unprecedented at a convention. But setting that aside, let's look at the record that we're dealing with here. We have a president who has allowed a deadly virus to run rampant through this country. 177,000 people are dead. And he has still not embraced or promoted or proposed a national testing program, a contact tracing program, an isolation program. He continues to propagate phony cures and medicines, and misrepresented a treatment just the other day, all in a desperate attempt to promote himself, as opposed to making sure that we can keep people well. 1 in 10 individuals are unemployed in this country today. And this president continues to think that miracles are happening and that everything is fine. He proposed, he signed an executive order that cut the payroll tax, which I'm shocked that a representative on the Republican side from Florida, of all places, where I am from, thinks it's okay to pull the net out from under our seniors on Social Security by cutting the payroll tax. And the president now says, if he's reelected, that he will permanently cut it. That will leave seniors who are vulnerable twisting in the wind. And our state has the highest percentage of seniors in the country. It's outrageous. And so I'm really glad to be opposite Mr. Gruden's tonight, because he's showing the true colors of the Republican Party, like the president and this convention has.
Joe Gruden, let me go back, though, to her earlier point. We saw the diplomatic reception room, the Rose Garden tonight. We're going to see the South Lawn at the White House, Cross Hall. Is the president crossing the line by using this public housing, the White House, as the backdrop for the convention? We also heard for the first time a sitting Secretary of State part of a partisan political convention?
Listen, there's no question we're in a crisis, and I feel bad for the Congresswoman. She wants to continue to play politics with this crisis. But Donald Trump has done more for the American people during this crisis than anybody around the world. Think about it. Think about all the testing that we are doing across the country. Think about the task force, what they've been able to do. You know, he talked about it yesterday when he was in Charlotte. You know, everybody that's needed a ventilator has received one. Nobody has gone without it. We've had supplies. He's been able to encourage the manufacturing sector of our economy to step up their game and make sure that we have all the necessary equipment that we need. So there's nobody in the hospitals that's being denied anything. He's done a great job. And we need hope. We need him to talk about the future and positive atmospheres, because this is a crisis, both on the health side and the economic one. And listen, we're not going to get out of this until the medical sector ends up coming up with one of these vaccines or cures. And it's the President Trump's effort through Operation Warp Speed is the reason why we're seeing some of these early results. And hopefully we'll get one of these vaccines maybe by the end of the year. So I think the President's done a good job. I think the Democrats want to continue to play politics. I think the fact that they're talking, you know, the Congresswoman brings up the payroll tax cut. Listen, people are suffering. Unemployment is at 10%. We need to get people back to work. We need to get America back working again. The great thing about this president is he's already proven once that he's accomplished record low unemployment with African Americans, Asian Americans, women, people, Americans without college degrees. He's going to once again, once we come out of this crisis, he will prepare us. And we've already seen the V, but he's going to make sure that Americans are back employed. And that's what his whole mission is. And that's what this election is all about. It's about the economy and it's about safety and security. And I think in terms of the economy, we already know what we're going to get with him. He's a proven businessman. He knows what America needs. He's going to get us back on track. And I'm excited about not only his record on economics, but I'm excited about once we get past this crisis. America is a resilient people, and I know he's going to get us back on track over the next 4 years.
But very quickly, has the party crossed the line by using the White House the way it is tonight and having a sitting Secretary of State deliver a speech at a partisan political event?
Absolutely not. I think it was a beautiful event, and I'm glad that he did it.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Can I jump in here for 1 second? If we're running on safety and security and the economy, I'm all about that. In our state, we have the third highest number of coronavirus cases, and now the lowest percentage of testing in the country. We have 1 in 10 people who are unemployed. We have a president who has lied to the American people, who spent months dithering and could have taken steps to make sure that we could have dramatically turned things around, but instead was much more focused on making sure he took care of the wealthiest, most fortunate Americans, and continues to focus on doing that. And if you're going to run on the economy, well, we have an extraordinarily high rate of unemployment. People are not safe, nor are they secure, because people can't even leave their homes. They're not even able to actually go to work. We're all on Zoom because we have a deadly virus raging through our country, and people are the furthest thing from safe. And all of that is in the lap of Donald Trump, and people will go to the polls in about 70 days, and they'll make the decision that it's time to embrace Joe Biden and make sure that we have a president who actually cares about people and understands how to get us out of this economic mess that Donald Trump has plunged us into, and end this healthcare crisis and ensure that we have a president who has Americans back.
Another moment from the convention tonight, your state's former Attorney General Pam Bondi taking direct aim at Hunter Biden, the Biden family, and ethics in government. Here's a portion.
Democrats have been lecturing America about integrity for 4 years, while their nominee has been writing the textbook on abuse of power for 40 years. If they want to make this election a choice between who's saving America and who's swindling America, bring it on. Joe says he'll build back better. Yeah, build the Bidens back better.
Joe Gruder, your reaction?
Listen, Pam Bondi was a superstar here in Florida, and she did fight corruption. I think she did a great job here in Florida going after all types of crooks, and she knows it. She called it out. The Bidens, the nepotism, and what Hunter's doing. Where is Hunter, by the way? You know, he's still making millions of dollars from his Chinese deal, and essentially what's going to happen is if you give... if there's no way Joe Biden's going to be elected president. But if he did, you would see Hunter Biden and his family make even more money overseas in these secret deals that are clearly unethical. Pam Bondi called it right. And the congresswoman, she continues to want to play politics with this virus. And in terms of safety and security, all you got to do is turn on the news and see these left-leaning cities where there's riots and terrible things happening nonstop. You get control of your cities. That's what America sees every day. That's what they don't want. And that's what this president's all about. This is about protection, making sure Americans feel safe. And if you look at his track record, he is going to not only restore law and order here in this country, but to go back to the virus, where she wants to talk about the economy and the devastation. That's exactly what this is. This is the devastation in the economy is a direct result of the virus. Donald Trump already proved that he successfully lead this country to economic prosperity, and he's going to do it again. We're fortunate to have him go to bat for us and do everything he possibly can to make sure the American public is safe. And it's the Democrats that are continuing to cause the unemployment with their policies and trying to prevent Americans from going back to work.
Another moment from the convention tonight. Tiffany Trump, one of the president's daughters, speaking at the Mellon Auditorium here in Washington.
People must recognize that our thoughts, our opinions, and even the choice of who we are voting for may and are being manipulated and visibly coerced by the media and tech giants. If you tune into the media, you get one biased opinion or another. And what you share, if it does not fit into the narrative that they seek to promote, then it is either ignored or deemed a lie, regardless of the truth. This manipulation of what information we receive impedes our freedoms. Rather than allowing Americans the right to form our own beliefs, this misinformation system keeps people mentally enslaved to the ideas they deem correct. This has fostered unnecessary fear and divisiveness amongst us.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you understand politics. What's going on here? What is the Trump campaign talking about?
What they're trying to do is deflect from the fact that that her father is a serial liar, who has documented, it's been documented repeatedly. He's told something on the order of more than 10,000 complete lies. The American people don't trust this president. They don't trust a word that comes out of his mouth. They understand a liar when they see one, and someone who abuses his power. And what they want in a president is someone like Joe Biden, who is going to make sure that we have a president who will not pull the rug out from under our seniors, and who know that they've worked their entire lives to put money into being able to have a safety net underneath them, and that a president who signs a payroll tax cut is doing just the opposite. Someone who sends his lawyers into the Supreme Court to fight against making sure that we have quality, affordable health care for Americans, and trying to get the Affordable Care Act declared unconstitutional, which has added 20 million people who didn't have health care before, who now have it. People like me, as a breast cancer survivor, who has a pre-existing condition. There's 130 million Americans like me in this country, and we don't have to worry about an insurance company dropping us or denying us coverage. Donald Trump has never proposed a plan that would do anything like that, and is trying to take people's health care away. Those are the kinds of issues that are going to get this, that are voters are going to go to the polls and decide this presidency. And that's why they're going to decide to vote for Joe Biden and send Donald Trump packing.
Joe Grudas, we covered the roll call of states yesterday in Charlotte, North Carolina. You were there. You put the president over the top in terms of delegates. The significance of that moment for you, but also Florida being the state that did that.
Listen, Florida's the big prize in November with 21 million people. The last election cycle in 2018, we had two of our top ticket races decided by 11,000 votes and 33,000 votes. This is the largest swing state in the country, and it's going to come down to Florida. We need to win it. So Florida was front and center. I had the incredible honor to be able to second the nomination of Donald J. Trump to serve for another 4 years in the office of president. And I also was able to put him over the top with Florida's delegates. But again, I represent all almost 5 million Republicans here in Florida and the 122 delegates that couldn't make it because we had that scaled down convention. But just an amazing opportunity. I was so fortunate. And for a grassroots guy who used to walk door to door for different candidates and who's just been walking ever since, to be able to have that opportunity was a truly once in a lifetime. Very special.
I'm going to ask something that may be difficult, but if you could bear with us. We understand who you're supporting in this election. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz, walk us through Florida in particular. From your standpoint, what it will take for Joe Biden to win the state of Florida, and Joe Gruters, from your standpoint, the area of the state that will put that could potentially put the president over the top. So, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, what will you be looking for on election night? What's key for Florida and the Democrats?
One thing that that Joe and I do agree on is that Florida is going to decide this election. Donald Trump can't win the presidency again without Florida, and there are a large variety of reasons why he won't win Florida. Not the least of which I've already discussed several times tonight, which is that Floridians have the largest percentage of seniors in the entire country. They absolutely want to make sure they have a president who understands that Medicare, preserving and protecting Medicare and Social Security as sacred, which are dependent on the payroll tax funding them, is absolutely essential. This president has already said that if he's reelected, he's going to make permanent the cuts to the payroll tax. That is going to really cause, the analysis that just came out the other day said that that would cause Social Security to have grave financial difficulty by 2023, in just a few years. When it comes to the issues that are important to our immigrant community, Venezuelan Americans have been asking this administration, asking Donald Trump to grant them TPS, temporary protective status. Donald Trump refuses. The Democratic House of Representatives has already passed legislation that would do just that. Donald Trump refuses to give Venezuelans who are here in this country the peace of mind of knowing that they're not going to be sent back into the chaos that the Maduro regime has made in Venezuela. They're going to vote for Joe Biden because they know that when it comes to access to quality, affordable health care, we'll be able to have a president who understands that we need to improve the Affordable Care Act, make sure that we add more people to the healthcare rolls, not Donald Trump, who is suing to get it tossed out as unconstitutional and has no plan to replace it. And Joe Biden, who was part of the Obama-Biden administration that pulled us out of the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression and handed Donald Trump a very robust and strong economy, which he was fortunate enough to be able to inherit, having little to nothing to do with its success until he plunged us into a recession and are leaving a deadly virus circulating through, which is why there were 122 delegates that couldn't attend the Republican convention from Florida, because we can't be in the same room together because people will die if we had people too close together. That's on Donald Trump, and that's why Floridians will be voting for Joe Biden.
Joe Gruters, quick follow-up from you. What's key for Republicans in terms of the turnout and areas of the state that you will be looking for?
Well, listen, the Republicans won the voter registration war by about 73,000 votes. And like I said, those numbers from 2018, 11,000, 33,000 vote margins, we won by 73,000 votes over the last 4 years. But more than that, it's hard to win a campaign from your basement. That's what Joe Biden's trying to do. They have a very weak ground game here in Florida where the Republican Party, we're robust. We have over 190 staffers. We just hit our 1 millionth door. We've had over 14 million voter contacts. We have the largest data-driven campaign and probably the largest, most sophisticated campaign in the history of the state of Florida. We're a well-oiled machine, and we're firing on all cylinders. And listen, we're going to leave no stone unturned in our efforts to make sure we deliver those 29 electoral votes for the president to catapult him back into the White House. And it's a he's going to do it because he's a resident of our state. He loves Florida, and I think Florida loves him. And I think we're going to reward him handsomely with our votes.
One final moment from Jerusalem in a pre-recorded speech by the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, with this.
I have a big job as Susan's husband and Nick's dad. Susan and Nick are more safe, and their freedoms more secure, because President Trump has put his America First vision into action. It may not have made him popular in every foreign capital, but it's worked. President Trump understands what my great fellow Kansan President Eisenhower said: for all that we cherish and justly desire for ourselves or for our children, the securing of peace is the first requisite. Indeed, the primary constitutional function of the national government is ensuring that your family and mine are safe and enjoy the freedom to live, to work, to learn, and to worship as they choose.
And Joe Gruters, the Secretary of State has a directive that says that diplomats should not be involved in partisan political activities, and yet we saw that tonight from the Secretary of State.
Well, I'm glad he brought up the truth. You know, Donald Trump has been a strong leader, and even Rand Paul came out and said, you know, if you don't want a war, then continue to support and elect Donald Trump, because he has avoided any of these needless wars. And listen, Donald Trump shows strength overseas. The fact that he moved the Israeli capital to Jerusalem was a great move by him. But he's had one success after the next on the international stage, and it's because he is willing to stand up and do what is right. And he's willing to do what's right on behalf of the American people, not on behalf of any corporate special interests. He's doing what's right for you and for me. And I think that's all these things in combination is what's going to lead him to victory in November.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, your reaction to the Secretary of State.
Do as I say, not as I do, hypocrisy. The fact that the Secretary of State was on an official trip in Jerusalem, he's the Secretary of State giving an unprecedented political speech that he's asked his own diplomats not to engage in. It's unethical, and it's why there is now an investigation being done by the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives into his abuse of power and his unethical behavior. Essentially, what this was for Mike Pompeo is his pre-2024 campaign speech, and to abuse the office of the Secretary of State while directing your own employees not to involve yourself in politics is the height of hypocrisy. But just another in a long string of unethical, outrageous, hypocritical behavior by this administration that in about 70 days the voters will say they're done with.
Final question for both of you. And Joe Gruters, you mentioned that the convention, at least part of it, scheduled for Jacksonville, Florida, that was scrubbed. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you've been involved in conventions. Does last week and this week change how political parties move ahead in 2024 and beyond? Joe Gruters, we'll begin with you.
No, my guess is we'll go right back to normal. It's unfortunate that the virus caused the disruption, but listen, I think if you watched the DNC convention last week, it was like I heard it from somebody that somebody called it a Hollywood award ceremony without awards. It was all doom and gloom, Hollywood elites, and what you're seeing from us is a positive message. We're hearing from everyday Americans that are being empowered by President Trump's policies. And I think that what you'll see over the next two nights is a continuation of that message, optimism, hope. And listen, the best is yet to come. I think we heard that last night, and I think that's we're going to continue to move with that. And I think President Trump is looking good, better and better every day.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz will give you the last word.
Well, what Joe Gruters and the Republicans just said is don't believe your lying eyes over the last 4 years and your lying eyes that you're watching during this convention. To answer your question specifically, I did help produce two national conventions. And I think that there is a significant benefit to doing a lot of the organizing in person. But I think we've really seen, particularly from our convention, which wasn't slapped together at the last minute like the Republican convention was, we were able to really have a lot of incredible display of, all of America, the diversity of America, being able to do our roll call in each state, having those states' leaders and the representative and diversity of this country on display, being able to have speakers all over the country that talked about the importance of the issues and then highlighted those issues through their lens. I think the virtual nature of our convention really was a highlight. So I think you'll see a hybrid in the future.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz represents Florida's 23rd congressional district, which includes Fort Lauderdale. Joe Gruters is a state senator and the chair of the Florida Republican Party. He is joining us from Sarasota. To both of you on this second night of the Republican National Convention, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And a reminder, our coverage will continue again tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern Time here on C-SPAN. All of it available on our website at cspan.org and the free C-SPAN radio app, as well as streamed on the web and on C-SPAN Radio.